All right, we're in the book of Revelation. My favorite part about the book of Revelation is it's about Jesus. That just sounds so hyper-spiritual, but if you're reading through, it's like, this is the coolest book ever, because it's about who Jesus is. It's about what Jesus has done, and early on in the book of Revelation, and we're about to get into the Yo Mama section of it. We've been through the seven churches, and we've kind of looked through those, and now the scriptures say there's kind of a key to Revelation. It's in the first chapter, I think the 19th verse. It says these are the things that were, and the things that are, and the things that are to be. So we talked about the things that were. Talking about the things that are with the church. Now we're going to talk about the things that are to be. And the central figure of all of those things is this person, Jesus. By his death on the cross, by his blood, he paid the sacrifice for our sins. And because of him, heaven is available to all of us. Heaven is available to you and to me because of what he has done. And we ask sometimes, what's heaven like? And then we hear songs. Ooh, heaven is a place on earth. And we all kinds of, God is watching us from a distance. And, boom, maybe he's pounding us. Maybe he loves us. I don't know. The Bee Gees, which is the sermon title. You may have noticed I like to grab songs and make sermon titles out of them for no real reason. But there was one called Too Much Heaven. And what we're going to look at today is John looking at heaven. There's going to be an open door, and he's going to get a glimpse of heaven. So what is heaven like? There are like 500 references to heaven in the Bible. And the most accurate or the most explicit description probably is in Revelation, and particularly in this passage that we're looking at in 4 and 5. And the first thing I want to point out to you here is in heaven, we see things clearly. We see things very clearly. In fact, Paul said, we kind of look life. It's kind of like looking in a mirror. You get a glimpse of it, but it's not exactly the right. And we think now, like today, think about like 10 years ago. Put that picture in your mind. 5 years ago, for Christ. 5 minutes ago, for Christ. It's like you look at the photographs, and sometimes we'll see these photographs of when you were a kid or whatever, and it just look, wow. And then the teenagers come along and they say, wow, that's an antique photo. Ooh, that was me in kindergarten, you know? It's kind of hurtful. But now with digital and everything, it looks so much clearer. But guess what, kids? Don't think too much of yourself. In 20 years, people are going to look back and, oh, Mom, why did you let me wear that? That looks so stupid. And we think right now that everything is, like as it ought to be. But in heaven, that's where it's really the clearest picture. In eternity, that's where it's really real. This right here, right now, is surreal. Heaven is the real, is the clear thing. Let's look in our passage. It's going to be on the screen here. It's also in your program. You can also grab a Bible for free and look on it as well. It's in Revelation, and we're in the fourth chapter. So read along with me. Then I looked. This is John. Then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven. And the same voice I had heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. Who is that? Thank you. It's always Jesus, right? Just say Jesus, and if it's not Jesus, it's just a rare thing. Just always say Jesus. The voice said, come up here, and I'll show you what must happen after this. That's how we know we're going to now be talking about what's after this, the things of the future. And instantly, I was in the Spirit. Boom! I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. The throne of the heaven. Think about that. This is where all the power is. You ever been to like the governor's office or the Oval Office or something like that? That's where all the power, that's where all the decisions are made. Or we go into, we went on a mission to the Seattle area. We went out to Olympia and we prayed over the assembly. And we're like, man, that's where important decisions are made. Think about this. The throne of heaven. This is where every cosmic, universal, God, divine decision that has ever been made, whether small or large, happened. This is where the earth was spun into orbit. This is where the universe was brought into being. The throne of God. That's what he's looking at. And you're like, whoa, that's big time stuff. The one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones, like jasper and carnelian. And the glow of the emerald circled his throne like a rainbow. Who are we talking about? Jesus. It's always Jesus, right? 24 thrones surrounded him. 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their heads. Who are these people? And we're going to talk about all of those things. It says that there's jasper. And Donna messed you up your, like, stuff and everything, but so it's not her fault, mine. Jasper, I'm just getting excited about what I'm reading. So there's jasper, and then there's this thing called a carnelian or a sardius stone, different kind of things. Now, we kind of referred back earlier on, if you were here earlier, and remember that when we talk about Revelation, there's not really much new. We are going to talk about some future things. But all of the things that you're going to see in Revelation, most of them have been seen before in different places. And if you go back to like Leviticus and Numbers in there, have you ever been in an annual Bible reading program, you know, the yearly thing? Oh, I'm going to start in Genesis. And so we start in Genesis. Oh, cool. And it's like a soap opera and it's really awesome. And then you get into Exodus and they're leaving Egypt and stuff. And then you get into this. This is where yearly Bible reading programs go to die. You know, it's like Leviticus. And they're like, they're talking about what you're going to do in the temple. And hey, the priests need to do this. And you do it exactly like this. And you do it exactly like this. And like, what in the world are they? They're killing me. It's like algebra. This is so boring. Who loves algebra here? Oh my. Jesus. Excuse me. I used algebra this year, so just so you know, once. But we're like, hey, why are we reading all this? And God was very specific about how meticulously they would do things. And if you read on, sometimes they didn't, and people like fell dead when they didn't do it right. It's like a creepy deal. Well, there's this thing called an ephod, and the priest was supposed to wear it. And it had 12 stones. And I'm doing this because it was kind of like a chest plate. It was a breastplate thing. And it had all these jewels on it, 12 stones for the 12 tribes of Israel, the first of which, and I'm going to get them backwards, the first of which was a red one and a sardius stone or a carnelian stone, the first one. And then the last one was made of jasper. It was clear. So we don't know if there were two stones, but most likely there were 12 stones on here, and it's a clue. Now, when you're reading these things, the people that read them, they would like connect immediately with a lot of the Old Testament and Jewish things. We kind of have to learn as we go along a little bit more. But these guys knew. So he said, where have you heard this? The last stone and the first stone. Who did we hear that about? Jesus, yeah, Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end. So they kind of allude to this, but he says, this is the first stone, this is the last stone. Maybe all 12 are there. And they would, the Bible does this quite a bit. Even Jesus on the cross, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, and he's on the cross. There's not a lot you can say. You're dying and things, but I mean, he's doing that. And to the Jewish person, you're supposed to like finish the sentence. And they knew the rest of it. And it goes on to talk about his, why have you forsaken me? It talks about a messianic prophecy. So Jesus is saying two things. Why have you forsaken me? I'm taking on the sin of the world. But he's also saying, think about this. I am the Messiah. He's confessing himself. He's professing himself as who he is. We do that all the time. What is it? The greatest plans of mice and men? Yeah. but we don't ever finish. We don't have to finish the, we don't even, sometimes we don't even know what the end is, but we kind of end it in our head. And that's what he, that's one of these things. It's a clue here. The first and the last, this ephod. So Jesus has priestly responsibility, has priestly authority. He's sitting on this throne. So he's got all these things going on. And then there's a rainbow around him. There's this emerald circled throne. The emerald circled his throne like a rainbow. So there's this prismatic effect going on. Did you know that rainbows are circles? Did you know that? I'm like discovering this week. I know I'm a little behind on the science and stuff. I only took earth science in ninth grade. That's all I took. But a rainbow is actually a circle. But we get it cut off because, you know, we have the land and things. But in heaven, everything's complete. Everything's full. Everything is, it's full circle. You ever do that? In heaven, everything's clear. But on earth, everything's not clear, is it? On earth, it's like, got to understand why I'm going through this right now. Got to understand why I'm dealing with this right now. Got to understand this boyfriend, girlfriend, daughter friend, husband friend, wife friend, son friend, whatever. Understand. I don't understand this worker that I'm dealing with. I don't understand why the circumstances are like they are. I don't understand why that person hit me and they wrecked my car and all kinds of stuff. I don't understand. We just don't get it, do we? May I suggest that we don't have the full picture? May I suggest that in heaven we'll see things a little more clearly, maybe completely clearly? May I suggest that we might just be seeing part of the things that are going on? And we may think God is not hearing, God is not caring, God is even not with us. But from where He's sitting on the throne, not worried, not fretting, not overly disturbed about anything, because He's God, may I suggest that there's a complete picture to see. And that's why we have trust, and that's why we have faith, and that's why we continue to walk. And God sees the picture. And have you done that? Have you done that? You're walking along, and you're living along, and life is horrific, and it's terrible. And that was like 6 months ago. But now 6 months, as you look back at it, you can see how God was weaving and crafting and working and using and doing things because you trusted Him. If you can't tell a story like that, may I suggest you're probably not trusting Him as you go along. You're trying to do it your own way. But if you trust, you allow God to pull things and bring things into completion. In heaven, everything's clear. On earth, everything's fuzzy. But when we have an eternal perspective, when we have a heavenly thought, when we have a heavenly perspective on life, things become more complete. And what we don't see, we trust for, because God never wastes a hurt. God never lets your pain go without being seen. God never lets anything happen. And it just doesn't matter. Everything matters. Even the God of all the universe cares about the smallest of things. But we fret over it because we don't see the complete picture. All right. 24 thrones surrounded Him. 24 elders sat on them. Who's that? Not Jesus. Remember we talked just last week. He said if you persevere, if you hang in there, you'll get a crown of life. You'll be given a white garment. These are the people that are representative of the church. That's you. This is you. And people are like, well, who are the 24 people that get to sit on the thing? That's not the point. Who cares, you know? It doesn't matter. They represent all of us. We all have these crowns, and we all have the white garment. We have 24 people that represent all of us, and it's awesome. And here's Jesus. From the throne, verse 5, from the throne came flashes of lightning and the rumble of thunder. And in front of the throne were seven torches with burning flames. This is the sevenfold Spirit of God. And there is some discussion about what that is. Is that the Holy Spirit? are those angels, and for our purposes here, we'll just assume that that's the Spirit of God, and I don't know what sevenfold means, all right? In front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass, sparkling like crystal. In the center and around the throne were four living beings, and we'll catch that in a minute. But you see these people, these 24 elders, and they all have these white garments and things. And listen, in heaven, rewards are given and rewards are received. Remember I said you might not see the whole picture? You trust, you faith, you hang, you believe, you walk, you let the Spirit of God live in you, you let the Spirit of God live through you, rewards are given. Man, nobody sees what I'm doing. Nobody cares. God sees it all. In heaven, rewards are given. Even things that you have forgotten that you did for the Lord or with the Lord, God never forgets. And God is counting them up. And there are rewards in heaven to be received. And what's a crown? You know, who matters about a crown? In heaven, crowns will matter. You will want a crown. You will want this white garment. And these things are received because of what Jesus has done for us, not because of what we do. But the scriptures say faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead faith. And works without faith is dead works. We trust in Him and we walk along and rewards are given. And here's the cool thing. You send them ahead. You send them on ahead. You send the rewards on ahead. You have a heavenly rewards card. You're building it up. And all the things that you do with and for God are not forgotten. And it's not some stupid club. And it's not when you get to heaven, He's going to say, oh, well, you know, those points don't qualify. All of them qualify, you know. You get to use them on frequent flyer thing. And we think of heaven sometimes like, you know, the Renaissance thing, these fat little things that are sitting around in a cloud being bored. That is not what heaven is like. This is the throne of God. We're going to be doing, we're going to be working, we're going to be serving, and we're going to receive a reward. And the question is, what kind of crown? Come on. What kind of crown are you going to wear? It's not that you're earning salvation. That's already done in Jesus. And it's not that you're doing it to get stuff. It's that you want to serve this Jesus, this great Jesus who has done it all for you, who has all authority, who has all power, who has burst through the door of heaven and opens it up and is letting us look into it right now through His scripture. This is who Jesus is. 1 Corinthians 3. I'm going to look this up. See how fast I can get. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. And it's like, I think, verse 11, something like that. Here we go. My buddies here from my home church, they're going to be moving to Fort Leonard Wood. Pray for them. That's Chaplain Matthew Woodside and Amy and their family. But we used to do Bible drills, so we looked this up. So anyway, that's why it's fast. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15. All right, here we go. No one can lay a foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. You're not earning your rewards on your own. Jesus is the thing. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. What Paul is saying, let me give you the New International Timbo version. Don't just make it to heaven by the skin of your teeth. Build. Let God live through you. Do works for Him. Do it with His power. Don't do it for Him. Do it with Him. Let Him live through you. Let it be valuable. Let it be useful. Rewards will matter. Also in heaven, worship is going to be modeled for us. All right, let's read on here. In the center around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes, front and back. Mom has eyes in the back of her head. This is a real. The first of these beings was like a lion, the second was like an ox, and the third had a human face, and the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes. That's kind of creepy. Inside and out, day after day, and night after night. They keep on saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, the Almighty God, the Almighty, the one who always was, who is, who is still to come. And whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders representing us fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever. Again, you just can't quit saying it. And they lay their crowns, they cast their crowns before the throne. Our crowns don't matter. All that we did for you doesn't matter. It was our joy. You are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you please. So these rewards, these guys are worshiping. They're casting down their crowns. They're throwing them down before Jesus. They have the garment. They have the crown. But all that we do is just going to be turned back over. Look what you have done, Jesus. We couldn't have done those works without you. They wouldn't have been of any value if not for and with you. We cast our crowns before them. There's a music group, and that's where it comes from. Casting their crowns before them. This is worship. It is all about Jesus, and they model it in heaven. And some of you are saying, hold on. That's cool and all about these people casting us down. But there was this thing about these creepy dudes. What's up? Some of you are like, wait, you're not going to pass over these freaky looking dudes or whatever. Actually, they've been mentioned a couple of times in the Bible before. One is in Ezekiel, the 10th chapter. And it's another weird vision where it's a wheel within a wheel and all that kind of stuff. And they're also mentioned in that little spot where, you know, yearly Bible reading plans go to die. They're mentioned here in a banner. And that's why God said meticulously, do it just like this. Why? Because it's a shadow of what is in heaven. I'm going to try my little Bible drill again. Hebrews, the 8th chapter, verse 5. They serve in a system of worship that is only a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven. For when Moses was getting ready to build the tabernacle, God gave him this warning. Be sure that you make everything according to the pattern I've shown you here on the mountain. That's cool. And as these people would go, they would all gather, the 12 tribes, and they would move this tabernacle, the predecessor to what is the temple in Jerusalem that would be the symbol of the presence of God, or the very place of the presence of God. And all of the people of Israel would be around the tabernacle. So God's presence was at the center. And they would take one group around and another group, and they would have four larger groups around. And the four larger groups would be able to carry a banner. And each banner had a depiction of something on there. You know what was on there? Lion. Ox. What are the other things? One's a man. Eagle. These banners were up there. So when they would travel, they would pack up the tabernacle and they would walk together in these groups. By the way, when you get all of the groups and things put together, they walked in the figure of a cross as they went along. It's pretty cool. But God was always at the center of it all. And these beasts, these are angels, all right? They're just angels. And it's kind of freaky to us, but God created them the way He created them, and they're kind of cool, all right? They're bad to the bone angels, and they have these six wings. We don't know that there's a whole group of them, or if these are just the only ones. These are the only ones we know of. So here he is around the throne of God, around the center of the universe, God Himself. Around that, these angels worship night and day. And we get to be a part of it. His church, these elders, cast their crowns before Him in worship. It's all about Him. Here's what's, if there's anything to say, this is it. God doesn't exist for our pleasure. God created you. This is harsh. God created you because he could and he decided to. He wanted to. It's a gift. And you are created by him. And you are created for him. And until you figure that out and accept it and live with it and live for it and live in it, nothing will make sense. Because the Creator designed you a certain way, a specific way, and that way is only, the joy and the fulfillment and the purpose is only found in him. Let me put it this way. Every one of us thinks that we're in a movie. We're the story. Every one of us thinks we're in a movie. I'm the star of my movie. You're the star of your movie. We're all guest stars in your movie. Everybody around you is a guest star in your movie. That's why when I said, that it's all about God and God created you just because he wanted to, it kind of tweaked you in your heart. Kind of, excuse me? I'm special. Arthur told me that in dadgum kindergarten when I was preschool, when I was watching PBS. I know. I'm important. I'm special. You are, but you're not that special. We all think that we are the stars of our movie. Everybody is a guest star. I have this fun recurring role in your movie every week. This weird guy just stands up and tells you stuff. Your movie's playing. I'm glad to be a cameo. And but we all do that. Who's right? Whose movie is it? Your movie? My movie? Yeah, this is God's story. And what's cool about it is, it takes the pressure off of you. This is God's problem. All this is God's problem. Where do I fit into that? Just connect to God and he'll figure it out for you. You are part of God's story. You were not created for your pleasure. You were created for God's pleasure because it pleased him to do it, the scriptures say. He wanted to. And it's a gift. And we take his story and his stage and his everything he's created and we jack it up. Yeah, imagine writing a play. You think Rodgers and Hammerstein would let you just kind of go off on your own free solo in the middle of a Broadway musical? You'd get yanked off the stage, wouldn't you? And get fired quickly. But that's what we do. And God lets us. And he still controls things and still controls the beginning, middle, and end. You're not going to disrupt God's story by being an idiot as hard as we try. But when we understand that we were made for God, by God, and we must live with God in order to find that. Guys, listen, I'll save you some time. Promise you, if you listen to me right now, those of you who are seeking for happiness in life, you can go ahead and stop. You are not going to find it. You're not going to find it. Your ship's not going to come in. You can't go get your ship. It's not happening. Publisher's Clearinghouse is not giving you, you're not winning the lottery. Probably not. And even if you did, it wouldn't make a difference. You're not going to find happiness by searching for it. You find joy, you find peace, you find purpose, you find fulfillment by letting God do something for you can't do for you. Being part of God's story. Letting yourself off the hook and letting Jesus take on your sins. Letting yourself off the hook and off the pressure program and fulfilling all the dreams and doing everything you're supposed to do. And I'm all for ambition and doing great things. But when you do it for yourself, you'll just find that you climbed the ladder and it was put up against the wrong wall. Nowhere. You're going nowhere. When you let God free you. when you let God live in you. When you decide, God, this is your movie. I want to be part of your story instead of my own side story over here that doesn't work. When you do that, then you'll find, because he found you, you'll find what you're looking for, because Jesus is looking for you. The question is simply this, guys. Who's going to sit on the throne of your life? You or Jesus, where he belongs? I'm going to invite you to pray now. So let's do that. Let's bow our heads. And if you're willing and ready to receive Jesus, if you're willing and ready to surrender that throne of your life and let God run his movie on your life and you be a part of it, you'll find it, guys, because Jesus is looking for you. Let him come in. Simple prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I have done it my way. I have tried it on my own. And I have sinned and I have violated you, your commandments, your character, your holiness, who you are. I want to be in heaven with you. And I want to know you now. I want you to live in me. So here's what I do. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Clean me out. Make me yours. Give me that garment of white. Whatever all that means, I don't understand it all. But I know I want to give my life to you. And I want you to forgive me of my sins. And I want to do it your way. Forgive me. You are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose again and reign in heaven now. And because I put my faith in you right now, because I put my faith in you right now, I have a home and I'm in heaven waiting for me, and I'm a citizen of heaven right now. Send your Holy Spirit to live inside me. I want to be yours. And dear Father, now as believers, we pray. We pray as we go through this week that we will remember this is your show. This is your movie. This is your story. And we are grateful for you giving us life and letting us be part of something. And Lord, just knock our arrogance down. Knock our conceit out. We want to serve you and we want to be fulfilled, not for our own purposes, but for your glory in everything that we do and everything that you do through us. Jesus, it's nothing compared to who you are and what you've done for us. So we just throw it back at you. Thank you. You've given us everything. And we worship you as the 24 elders did. And these funny looking angels to us worship right now in your holiness. We are before your throne. And we thank you, Jesus. And we love you, Jesus. And we praise you, Jesus. And we worship you, Jesus. This is all about you. Everything that is and ever was created, even us, it's all about you. And we want our lives to be all about who you are. So we surrender ourselves over right now for you to do with us as you see fit with your life that we get to be stewards of. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're on this end, if you'll pass down.